Beloved, this is the word of God. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to Ruth, "My daughter, should I not seek rest for you, that it may be well with you? Is not Boaz our relative, with whose young women you were? Behold, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your cloak and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. But when he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." And Ruth replied, "All that you say, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had commanded her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. Then she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. At midnight, the man was startled and turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. He said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer." And he said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. And now it is true that I am a redeemer, yet there is a redeemer nearer than I. Remain tonight, and in the morning, if he will redeem you, good, let him do it. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Lie down until the morning." So she lay at his feet until the morning, but arose before one could recognize another. And he said, "Let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." And he said, "Bring the garment you are wearing and hold it out." So she held it. And he measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her. Then she went into the city, and when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "How did you fare, my daughter?" Then she told her all that the man had done for her, saying, "These 6 measures of barley he gave to me, for he said to me, 'You must not go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law.'" And Naomi replied, "Wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today." Thus ends the reading of God's word. Pray with me. Our help is truly in your name, Father and Son and Holy Spirit. Make the words of my lips acceptable in your sight. Make the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Manipulation, control, scheming. As we consider Ruth 3 this evening, it might be helpful to situate it next to other stories in the Old Testament where these themes are present. We might consider Sarah, the wife of Abraham, all the way back in Genesis, where the Lord made a promise to Abraham and to Sarah that he will provide a son, but he would accomplish it in his own timing. Well, we know that Sarah grows impatient and gives her servant Hagar to Abraham and tells him to impregnate her. Or maybe we might think of Lot's daughters. That would be fitting for our present story. They see their inheritance slipping away from them, so they devise a plan to get their father drunk and sleep with him. This is the beginning of Moab and Ammon. Or maybe we might think of Jacob. He schemes, he deceives, he manipulates his brother and his father so that he might receive his father's blessing. The point is, the Lord's people often don't like to wait. We are impatient. We want to be in control. We want things now. And often we will take matters into our own hands to accomplish this. Ruth 3 gives us an extreme example of what this looks like in the character of Naomi. In Ruth 3, the Lord Jesus instructs our hearts to wait and trust in his faithfulness rather than take matters into our own hands. I'll repeat that since that's the point of the sermon. The Lord Jesus instructs our hearts to wait and trust in his faithfulness rather than take matters into our own hands. And to begin with, we need to remember where Naomi is at in the book of Ruth with respect to her process of transformation. Last week, as I said before I read the scripture, we began to see her transformation in Ruth 2. She is surprised by the Lord's kindness. She begins to bless and trust the Lord. This week, however, Naomi doesn't display the same level of trust in the Lord. She takes matters into her own hands, and she forces the Lord's hand, attempting to jumpstart his faithfulness, his promises. In verse 1, notice that Naomi is seeking rest for Ruth. The last time that Naomi sought rest for Ruth, she attempted to send her back to Moab, the land of restlessness. So it seems that Naomi's perception of rest has been slightly reoriented as she now desires that it may go well for Ruth and her family in the land. This is a good thing and is evidence that the Lord is truly working and growing and teaching Naomi. However, she devises a sinful plot to bring this about. This becomes evident as we listen to her words to Ruth. I just happened to hear that Boaz will be at the threshing floor tonight. Go ahead and get all washed up, anoint yourself with perfume, then wait until Boaz is nice and drunk. Follow him back to his room and get under the sheets with him. He'll tell you what to do next. If this sounds a little bit racy to you, then you're getting the point. Any Israelite would have known that the threshing floor often turned into a place of prostitution at night. Hosea 9:1. Israelites would get drunk with their friends and then go and hang at the threshing floors while they were up to no good. And since it was easy profit, prostitutes would naturally flock to these threshing floors in the nighttime. Naomi is telling Ruth to act like a prostitute. She is also telling Ruth to act like a true Moabite, as Lot's daughter seduced her drunken father to preserve her inheritance. So Ruth is to seduce the drunken Boaz to guarantee Naomi's inheritance. If Ruth becomes pregnant, Boaz will have to protect his reputation in the community, which will force him to marry Ruth and which will guarantee Naomi's inheritance. You see, Naomi is trying to jumpstart the Lord's faithfulness. She's trying to jumpstart what the Lord has promised to her. She wants rest. She wants an inheritance. She wants to be preserved. And she has found a redeemer in Boaz. These are all blessings that the Lord in his faithfulness is opening up to her. But he wants her to wait and trust in him to bring them to realization. And Naomi, however, is impatient. If the Lord will not act on Naomi's timing, then she will act. She will accomplish his faithfulness on her own. She will take the blessing he has given to her and use it for her own end. She will manipulate Ruth. She will manipulate Boaz. But ultimately, she will even attempt to manipulate the Lord. It's into this context that Ruth approaches Boaz. She waits until Boaz is drunk. She waits until he has passed out on the threshing floor. Then she snuggles up next to him and waits until he wakes up. Ruth obeys Naomi up to this point. But as soon as Boaz wakes up, she demonstrates that she will not follow Naomi's way. She will not act as that Moabite Naomi tells her to be. When Boaz asks her, "Who are you?" she doesn't reply Ruth the Moabite, as she is so often called in this book, but Ruth, your servant. She isn't the Moabite schemer and deceiver who serves herself. She is a servant who is humble and willing to display patience. Ruth will not manipulate Boaz. Instead, she depends on the Lord's faithfulness. She takes a risk and trusts in the Lord's words to her. Those words that he spoke to her through Boaz in chapter 2. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. This is why she says to Boaz, spread your wings over me, for you are a redeemer. Ruth is asking Boaz to make concrete and tangible what he pronounced by the Lord on her in chapter 2. Any Israelite would have understood that to spread one's wings or covering or garment over them is a referent for the way the Lord married Israel. Listen to Ezekiel 16:8. I spread my wings over you, Israel, and covered your nakedness. I made my vow to you and entered into a covenant with you, declares the Lord God, and you became mine. The Lord protects and provides for Israel in their marriage. And Ruth is asking Boaz to do the very same thing. She is asking him to redeem her house by marriage. Marry me by spreading your wings over me, for you are a redeemer. And Boaz responds, may you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. Boaz affirms that Ruth is known for her kindness and her faithfulness. And this isn't the first time. He refers to what he calls the first kindness in chapter 2. All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me. And how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. Ruth 2:11. You see, Ruth left her family, her gods, her land, and her people to follow Naomi. She committed herself to Naomi to attempt to restore her. This was the first kindness, according to Boaz. But the second kindness has to do with how Ruth chooses Boaz. Boaz is an old man. However respected he might be, that doesn't necessarily make him desirable at all for marriage. Ruth could have pursued a younger man. She could have pursued a richer man, but she chooses Boaz because he can redeem her. But not only Ruth, he can also redeem her mother-in-law, Naomi. For this, Boaz promises that he will do all that he can for Ruth. At this point, Boaz makes a really interesting comment that we might overlook at first glance. He says to her, all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. Ruth 3:11. A more literal translation, all my people of the gate know that you are a woman of valor, an excellent woman. This language is lifted right out of Proverbs 31, the language of what is called the Eshet Hayil in Hebrew, the woman of valor. That excellent woman, the wise woman. Proverbs 31 is the idealistic example of wisdom when it is personified as a woman. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Boaz recognizes that Ruth fears the Lord, and she is a reflection of his complete faithfulness in her first kindness and her second kindness. She is completely faithful in Boaz's eyes. It also makes sense that Ruth is embodying Proverbs 31 when we consider it from a canonical angle of ordering and arrangement in the Hebrew Bible. In our English Bibles, Ruth is tucked in between the book of Judges and 1 Samuel. However, in the Hebrew Bible, this is not the case. Ruth is placed directly after Proverbs. And what does Proverbs end with? The woman of valor. And the next book is Ruth. Every Israelite would have noticed this. Some of this can even be seen from the very words of Proverbs 31. Ruth does good and doesn't harm. She provides food for her household. She opens her hand to the poor. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household. She lets her works be praised in the gates among the townspeople. Literally, almost directly, what Boaz says. This is all evident in the way she cares for Naomi and for Boaz. And Boaz is aware of this kindness. And he is kind and faithful to her as well. Boaz protects her honor and her dignity. He doesn't engage sexually with her. The word that is used for remain tonight or lodge tonight is never used in the Old Testament to communicate sexual intercourse. This is intentional. The author means to communicate this. In addition, Boaz has her wake up earlier than anyone else, so no one sees her. He instructs all of his workers to keep quiet so no one knows she visited him. Boaz also provides for Ruth. As she is leaving, he gives her 6 measures of barley to carry back to Naomi. 6 measures is 80 pounds. Clearly, Ruth is no dainty lass. She is the Proverbs 31 woman, after all. To use the words of Proverbs 31 again, she dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. Strength and dignity are her clothing. 80 pounds is simply no big deal for Ruth in Boaz's eyes. At this point, it might also be helpful for me to show my cards a little bit, as we are all the way into chapter 3 at this point in our series. I don't think the main character of the book of Ruth is Ruth. And I don't think the main character is Boaz. The main character is Naomi. The book of Ruth is the story about her transition from emptiness to restoration. It's about the transformation of her heart as she struggles to understand the Lord's character and his ways. Think about it. Even as she's not physically in the scene, she's constantly being brought up. Ruth 2:11. Boaz says to Ruth, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law." Ruth 3:17, Boaz again says, "You must not go back empty to your mother-in-law." You see, Naomi remains central. And we can see this in Ruth 3 as the chapter ends again, like chapters 1 and 2, with Naomi. As Ruth returns to her mother-in-law, Naomi asks her the same question Boaz asked when he woke up next to Ruth. Who are you? Your translations probably say something like, "How did you fare?" or "How did it go?" This gets at what is meant by the question, but it doesn't capture the gravity of the question. The words are literally exactly the same words Boaz asks Ruth in verse 10. Who are you? Are you Ruth, my dead son's widow? Are you Ruth, the childless? Are you Ruth, the Moabite? Or are you Ruth with child, and thus Ruth, the betrothed? Ruth answers Naomi's question by telling her everything Boaz did for her. She tells her about Boaz's protection, how when she came to him dressed as a prostitute, by Naomi's instruction, Boaz would not shame her. She tells her about Boaz's provision, how he didn't send her back empty-handed to Naomi because he didn't want Naomi to be empty. She tells her about his kindness and faithfulness. She tells her about how he has promised to redeem her if it is possible. And there is a tension still. We will get into this more next week, but there is another redeemer that is closer and kin to Elimelech than Boaz. Thus, according to the law, he has the right to redeem Naomi and Ruth if he desires to. But Boaz is more than ready to redeem. He is ready to protect and provide abundantly. And at this point, there is something that clicks for Naomi for the first time in the book. She begins to understand the Lord's faithfulness. She begins to understand that the Lord is serious when He says that He cares for widows and orphans. She begins to understand that the Lord is serious when He says He will bring life out of death, that He will bring restoration out of emptiness. And for the first time, Naomi instructs Ruth not to take matters into her own hands. She lets go. She trusts. She rests. She realizes that no matter how hard she tries, she cannot attain rest. She must be patient and wait. So she tells Ruth to wait and be patient. Boaz is a man of his word. He will not rest until this matter is settled. There is something about Naomi that really reveals the deep recesses of our hearts. We aren't much different from her. Sure, we might never tell a daughter to prostitute herself, to manipulate a man into marrying her. But isn't it true that our hearts often crave control over the things that matter most to us? We are willing to manipulate when necessary. We are willing to scheme and deceive. We are willing to use people in our lives to meet our own ends. Our parents, our spouses, our children, our friends. We are willing to use these gifts and blessings the Lord has given us to serve ourselves. Doesn't this reveal that we care for ourselves more than for others? The way we often treat those closest to us, the way we often treat the Lord, the way we often trust in our own efforts over His faithfulness and kindness to us. This is how bad it is. We are no different than Naomi. And yet the Lord is patient. He isn't done transforming our hearts. He isn't ashamed of us. He is faithful to us, even when we think His promises are too good to be true. He serves us, even when we think we need to take matters into our own hands. He doesn't shame us. He protects us in the same way Boaz protects Ruth. He provides for us in the same way Boaz provides for Naomi. He does this all in the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to me, all who are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I know that you are weary. I know that you are anxious. I know that you feel like you need to be in control. But let go. Let me be the Lord and come to me. I am your Redeemer. I have redeemed your life. I have redeemed you from death. I have been raised so that you might rest. I am at my Father's side, preparing an inheritance for you. I have clothed you under my wings, and your identity is wrapped up in mine. You are called son. You are called daughter. You are my bride. Do not be anxious about your life, about tomorrow and the future, about what you will eat or drink, about your body and your health, about what you will wear, about your children and what they will be like, about your job and where you will be. You can fill in the blank. I know that you need these things, but seek first my kingdom and trust in me. So, beloved, be patient. Trust in the Lord. Be patient. Don't seek to manipulate one another. Don't use people to accomplish your own desires. Don't seek to control your lives in ways you cannot. Don't seek to jumpstart the Lord's faithfulness. Listen to Naomi and wait. Wait on the Lord. How many times has the Lord came through for you? How many times has He answered your prayers? How many times has He provided what you need when you needed it? How many times has He displayed His faithfulness to you? The Lord Jesus is faithful and kind. He will not leave you, and He will not forsake you. for he has spread his wings over you, for he is your Redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.